and welcome to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. This is the program where we focus on exposing the misconceptions associated with religion, politics, with military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news this morning, I'm going to explain why these things are happening and what it ultimately means to you and your family. Then during our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms through His Torah, which means teaching, not law, and by way of His covenant. If you are rational, if you are not religious, I can promise you that this will be the most enlightening part of today's program. Our phone number, should you wish to question, criticize, or affirm anything I have to say, is 877-300-7645. I'm going to begin this morning with a comment that is just bursting out of me. What did we just hear Leon Panetta say? Did Leon Panetta in the news say, yep, I understand that the Taliban are trying to kill Americans and that they are really disruptive? And he was, of course, commenting on the sharp increase in the number of American and British casualties in Afghanistan that are the cause are caused by the very Afghan military that America is arming and equipping. The moment they get their guns, they turn their guns not on Taliban, they turn their guns on American and British soldiers. So here is Leon Panetta. He's saying, okay, I got a plan. My plan is the same plan we tried in Vietnam. Now, that plan failed miserably in Vietnam, which was that we were going to turn the war over to the South Vietnamese, and we were going to equip and train them, because even though we're winning every battle, we're losing this war, and this is a winless war. So let's save face, and the way we're going to save face is we're going to equip and train the South Vietnamese to fight the North Vietnamese. Well, you know how long that lasted. We squandered a few hundred billion dollars. Money was worth something back then. Now we squander trillions of dollars trying to do the same game. But we then negotiated a peace with honor deal with people who know of nothing of peace and nothing of honor. And 15 minutes later, it was as if we had never been there, with exception of all of the blood, both ours and theirs, that had been spilled and the money that had been squandered. Well, now, unable to learn anything from Vietnam, we are at it again in Afghanistan. This time, we're equipping, rather than a politically inspired enemy, we are equipping a religiously inspired enemy. And so Panetta is acknowledging that the Afghans that we are equipping are inspired via the Taliban. And yet, he says, we're sticking to the plan. We're going to continue to give the Afghan army guns, and we're going to turn over Afghanistan to them, even though they're the ones who are killing us. So, America, you got your plan. Those are your marching orders. Continue to equip and arm the very people that are killing your citizens, and then turn over a country to them. Sounds like a great plan to me, Leon. Any wonder America is in such a mess. I'm going to turn now to a secretly filmed video that has emerged showing Mitt Romney disparaging Barack Obama voters at a private donor dinner. Now, before we deal with this opening statement, there's something that needs to be said. Are you disparaging someone when you tell the truth about them? Doesn't the very notion of disparage convey this idea that what is said about someone must be untrue? Let's give you an example. There's this amateurish film out that allegedly disparages Muhammad by saying that he was a mass murderer, that he was a terrorist, that he was a thief, that he was a pedophile, that he was a sexual pervert, that he was suicidal. You might recall someone producing such an amateurish film that is claimed to disparage Muhammad. Well, since every one of those things is true about Muhammad, he was a rapist, he was incestuous, he was a pedophile. He was a ruthless terrorist. He was a mass murderer. He funded Islam through the slave trade, through terrorism, and through kidnapping for ransom. When he received his first Quranic insight, revelation in a dark cave late at night, and was beaten to a pulp by a demonic spirit, he acknowledged that he had been demon-possessed, and he tried to kill himself. All of those things said about Muhammad, although it was rank and amateurish in that stupid film, but the fact is that what was said about him was true. How can you disparage someone if you call them a ruthless, suicidal, sexually perverted terrorist if it's true? You know, I don't think you'd be disparaging Adolf Hitler by saying he was an egomaniac. I don't think you'd be disparaging Manson by saying that he liked to inspire people to kill others. When you tell the truth about someone, you're not disparaging them. Why don't we, as a nation, learn the difference between right and wrong? That which is true and that which is false. And learn that it does matter whether or not something is true. When truth is no longer a defense, then a society has become immoral, unjust, uncivil. Such is the case with the American media reporting that Mitt Romney disparaged Barack Obama voters. The article continues to say that the Republican nominee is shown saying that the 47% of Americans who back the president do not pay income tax and would never vote for Mr. Romney. Quote, "I'll never convince them that they should take personal responsibility and care for their own lives," Mr. Romney says. Well, here's the reality. In America, over 50% of those who file federal income tax pay no income tax. In America, 10% of wage earners, let's emphasize that, 10% of wage earners pay over 71% of the total taxes. Of the bottom 50% of wage earners, collectively they paid only 2% of tax. And 50% of tax filers paid no federal income tax at all. Now, mind you, to vote for a candidate who is going to increase the amount of money that is redistributed to people, from people who earned it, to those who have not earned it. To do that is grotesquely immoral. It is the bane of democracy. It is why the founding fathers loathed democracy. In democracy, the majority always end up stealing from the minority, and they feel good about it. They justify it. They say that they're victimized by the minority, and therefore it is their right to steal from the majority. They even have slogans that say it's only right that the rich pay their fair share. When if the rich paid their fair share, their income taxes would fall by some 20 or 30 times, a magnitude of 20 or 30 times less than they currently are. What he said is correct. Of the 40% of Americans who back the president, the vast preponderance of them do not pay income tax. They are net recipients of government indulgences. And in so, they are grotesquely immoral. When you justify stealing from one group of people to indulge yourself and then burden your children further with the consequence of such indulgences, you've lost all semblance of morality. In a late-night appearance, Mr. Romney said that his remarks were not eloquently stated, but he did not retract them. Now, why not just say, what I said is true, and be done with it? He did say that this is the same message I give to people in public. Earlier in his campaign, Mr. Romney had said that he wants to help all Americans struggling in the Obama economy. So what this journalist, who is obviously liberal, wants to stress is that Mr. Romney is lying. At one time he said, I want to help all Americans, and now he's saying, I don't. That's not what he said. He didn't say he didn't want to help them. He said they would never vote for him. It's a big difference. And he said they would never vote for him because they don't pay any tax. They're net beneficiaries of government indulgences, and therefore they don't have the moral compulsion to vote for him. It's not that he didn't want to help them. He could help them by removing the indulgences and making the economy stronger by changing this Robin Hood communist from each and to each mentality. Yes, Scott?
Isn't this kind of like the whole, you know, you teach a man to fish, you know, yes. He eats for his life. If you give him fish, he just eats for a day. Isn't that kind of like, wouldn't that be helping?
Yes, and you know, and if you teach him to fish, you help build his character. You show him a sense of responsibility, a sense of accomplishment. Yeah. You know, it's as you know, I've spent a lot of time trying to study Yahweh's the testimony, and as I do it, what I have found is that the most effective way to do it and to share with people is not simply to throw out nuggets and say, okay, here's the five terms and conditions of the covenant, have at it. Because if I instead provide people with the tools and the foundation that they can go and study his testimony for themselves and come to know him themselves and then come to understand what he is offering themselves, then that individual is in a vastly better position and grows and knows so much more and understands so much more and appreciates so much more than the person you're saying, well, here's the five terms and conditions of the covenant. I hope you enjoy yourself. Have a nice time. Meaningless to them. Yeah, it might say, okay, well, that's nice to know. Okay, that was a nice fish. Could you cook it for me? I don't know how to make fire. Could you clean up this for me? I don't do personal responsibility. I want somebody to clean up my mess.
I see you have fire. Can that be my fire?
Can that be my, yeah, you are burning natural resources, and therefore I'm a victim of that, and global warming over there, but I'll take your fire.
You didn't make that fire.
You didn't earn that fire. Okay, well, we'll be back and talk to the fire and about Romney's statements after the break. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. If you want to engage in this discussion, it's 877-99... Whoops, that's not our telephone number. But we will... our number, excuse me, is 877-300-7645. I'm ready to give away the secret insider number to call in as the studio host as opposed to a guest. But it's 877-300-7645. It's hard to get professional talent these days, as you can see. In a moment here, Scott's going to play the audio clip from the secretly recorded and released video that is being presented on Mother Jones's website. The Obama administration, of course, was quick to pounce. They said, quote, it's hard to serve as president for all Americans when you disdainfully have written off half the nation, said Jim Messina, Mr. Obama's campaign manager. The reality is that all he said was that those who voted for Obama, who are part of the 47% of Americans that pay no tax, that think that they are victims of the rich, who think that they are entitled to government indulgences, that he said, I will never convince them to vote for me. That's what he said. That he said that he would not represent those who pay no tax? No. Did he say he wouldn't represent Republicans or Democrats? No. Has this current president written off an enormous swath of Americans? Absolutely. In politics, hypocrisy is what prevails. And the way that hypocrisy is promoted in politics is the same way that it is promoted in religion. You misquote someone, you twist what they say, and you make it sound different than what was actually communicated. And in this particular case, that is exactly what the Obama administration has done. Now, that's an effective ploy. It's not an honest ploy. It's not a good ploy. It's not a righteous ploy. It's not a moral ploy. But it is an effective ploy because the vast preponderance of people who listen to Mr. Messina or the Obama campaign will not bother to actually listen to or read the statements, consider whether or not they're accurate, and make a judgment based on the facts. Most can easily be beguiled by twisting and misquoting. It is the very basis, by the way, of the of religion. When Ha-Satan, Satan, slithered, which means the adversary in Hebrew, slithered into the garden, first he was allowed to slither in by God, which means that God is absolutely willing to have those who opposed him twist his testimony. Ha-Satan misquoted Yahweh. He quoted what he said out of context, and then he twisted it to beguile Chawa and Adam. It's Chawa, not Eve. Eve is the name of a pagan sun goddess. This is exactly what is done every day in the name of religion. It is the thing that is done every day in the name of politics. Scott, do you by chance have that audio from candidate Mitt Romney that we could listen to, and then we can comment on it?
There are 47% of the people who vote for the president from our government. All right, there are 47% who are with him, who are dependent upon government, who believe that they are victims, who believe that government has a responsibility to care for them, who believe that they are entitled to health care, to food, to housing, to you name it. But that's an entitlement, and government should give it to them. And they will vote for this president no matter what. And the president starts off with 48, 49, 43. He starts off with a huge number. These are people who pay no income tax. 47% of Americans pay no income tax. So our message of low taxes doesn't connect. He'll be out there talking about tax cuts for the rich. I mean, that's what they sell every 4 years. And so my job is not to worry about those people. I'll never convince them. They should take personal responsibility and care for their lives. What I have to do is convince the 5 to 10% in the center that are independent, that are thoughtful, that look at voting one way or the other, dependent upon, in some cases, emotion, whether they like the guy or not.
Wow. Okay. Well, that was quite clear. So what he said is that that there are a number of people, a very significant percentage of people, 47% was the quantification, that will vote for Obama no matter what. And that's correct. You know, if I talk to a religious person and I convince a religious person that using evidence and reason that there is a 0% possibility that their religion is true, they will cling to their religion no matter what. The same thing is true with politics. If you take a person who is immersed in politics and prove that their patriotism is misguided, evidence and reason will not prevail, no matter what. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. I will try to state the telephone number for you to call in if you would like to challenge or augment anything that is being said here on our program. It is 877-300-7645. The no matter what line that Mitt Romney uttered, and I'm not a Mitt Romney fan. Understand that I don't even know which one of these two guys would be worse as the next president of the United States. I think it's a toss-up, and we'll speak to that in a moment as to which one would be worse. That was absolutely accurate. And it's not just accurate Romney v. Obama. It's accurate of almost every myth that permeates our society. In religion, I've received tens of thousands of letters from religious people after having written books exposing religion. And I can tell you for a fact that the vast preponderance, if not approaching 100%, of people who are devoutly religious, that they will cling to their religious beliefs no matter what. Absolute evidence, even from God himself, does not serve as sufficient reason for the religious to reject their faith. The bridge in front of them that is the Christian religion or the Islamic religion over the gorge, over the flaming gorge, can be absolutely burned to smithereens and they'll walk off the cliff. Evidence and reason mean nothing to those who are beguiled by religion, no matter what. The same thing is true of politics. If you are resolutely Republican in America, resolutely Democrat in America, if you are a flaming liberal, if you are a maniacal conservative, it matters not. I could absolutely prove that your candidate and your prior party leaders are corrupt, that they have lied to you, that they were not and are not worthy of your support, and it wouldn't matter to you. You would go about the task of slandering me and crucifying the messenger as opposed to dealing with the facts or evidence. No matter what, couldn't convince you. If you are a patriotic American and you just believe that everything America does is wonderful and you're a big flag waver and you think that the American military are the cause of your freedom, the source of your freedom, then I could give you evidence and reason to the cows come home. That is not true, that your faith is misplaced, that your devotion is not based on fact, and it won't matter to you. This program is kind of like the Romney campaign, if we might quote Mr. Romney, and that it only appeals to that 10% of people who are open-minded, where evidence still matters, where reason is considered a virtue. Those people who, if presented evidence that demonstrates conclusively that their politics is misguided, that their religious faith is misplaced, that their agnosticism or atheism isn't the best choice, that those people will say, wow, I didn't know that, but now that I know that and I can deduce from that information this conclusion, I'm going to change my perspective. I'm going to go in a different direction. I'm going to change my attitude. That percentage of people, whether it's 10% or 20%, that know there's something wrong with their political party, wrong with their religion, wrong with their military, wrong with the economic system that exists in America of deficit financing, which I call economic pedophilia. That's 10%. There's hope. There's hope. This program is for you. For the 45% or 40% on either side of that 10 to 20%, just as Obama said, it doesn't matter. Nothing will matter to you. He went on to say that the victims, that those who are Obama supporters, Obama supporters, feel that they are entitled, that government should give things to them. You know, it's this idea that if you stop giving those who do not work $1,000 a month and you give them $800 a month for doing nothing, that you're harming them, that you're punishing them, that you're punishing somebody by giving them $900 a month that they did not earn because they think that they're now entitled to the thousand. Do you know that the Social Security and Medicare are Ponzi schemes? They are absolute Ponzi schemes. They're identical in the Ponzi scheme makeup to what Bernie Madoff did, where you take newer contributors, and you give the money donated by new subscribers, and you give that to pay dividends to old participants, to give the existing participants a sense that they're getting a return. That's a Ponzi scheme. It's a crime in America. Bernie Madoff is in jail for having perpetrated. One of his sons committed suicide over it. It is a crime. Well, there is no greater Ponzi scheme in the world than Social Security and Medicare. And yet, Americans continue to embrace it. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with us that we would condemn one person for running a $40 billion Ponzi scheme over decades when the U.S. government runs trillion-dollar Ponzi schemes annually? Then Mr. Obama said that 47% of people pay no income tax at all. The number is actually a little over 50% that pay no income tax at all, but he's being conservative. That's a statement of fact. Fact check it, journalists. It is a statement of fact. 47% of Americans pay no tax at all. In fact, because 47% is a subset of 50%, it is a truthful statement. He then repeats, he says, the same rhetoric every 4 years. You know, everybody needs to pay their fair share, that, you know, that the way that we solve the economy is to attack the rich. You know, there's that commercial that's running everywhere across the country that has this scumbag that was the previous Democratic president, Mr. Clinton, telling us how wonderful he was that he taxed the rich more, and he reduced the taxes on the middle class, and that was why his economy was wonderful, and wasn't he a great guy? And that's the Obama plan, and that the Romney plan is to give tax breaks to the rich and the hell with the middle class. It's the same rhetoric over and over again. And it's all a lie. It is all a lie. You want to have a robust economy, you tax people less. You don't punish success if you want to have more success. And that's what a progressive tax system does. We are punishing success, and we are rewarding failure. If you want more failure, reward it. If you want less success, punish it. If you want a economic system that has failed and collapsed as it has in America, continue to do what we are doing. Punish success and reward failure. Follow the communist mantra and see where it gets you. Take from each according to their ability, and give to each according to their perceived need, or covetousness, or entitled state of affairs. And see where it gets you. Worked great for the Soviet Union, didn't it? Worked great for China, didn't it? Until China said, you know, that scheme doesn't work. We better embrace free enterprise. Worked great in North Korea. Why don't you compare North Korea to South Korea to see how well it works? Why don't you look in your history books and compare Eastern Europe to Western Europe, free enterprise, to that communist from each to each scheme. See how it works. Well, the BBC's Adam Brooks in Washington says that this may prove to be a significant setback for Romney. Why would the BBC's Adam Brooks say that? Because he's a liberal. He's one of those who thinks that the government owes these unearned benefits to 50% of the people, and that 50% of the people should not pay any tax, and yet they should control who's in Washington so that we could continue to play this game of wealth redistribution instead of wealth creation. Because Mr. Romney has been relentlessly characterized by his political opponents as a privileged and out-of-touch individual, and yet what he said is accurate. So the man is going to be ostracized for being privileged and out of touch, as opposed to being truthful. And the man who is out of touch and who has been privileged by government indulgences, Obama, will be the one that is perceived as being, oh, I have the heartstrings of America. A man who has never earned a dime in his life for working for a business or making anything or building anything, Obama, is the one that will be perceived as the one who can help Americans in their quest for jobs and the man who has created jobs and saved jobs and built companies and invested in companies will be perceived by the majority of Americans as the man who is out of touch. We are living in an ignorant and irrational world. The quote is, there are 47% who will vote for the president no matter what. It is a truthful statement. Mr. Romney is referring to the percentage of Americans who have no income tax liability. There are 47% who are with him. They are dependent upon government. They believe that they are victims. They believe that the government has a responsibility to care for them. They believe that they are entitled to health care, to food, to housing, you name it. He's right. It is the bane of democracy. It is why democracies always fail. The majority always ends up stealing and oppressing the minority. No democracy has ever survived any length of time unless it was brutal, in the case of Sparta. Democracy is not a good thing. It is a bad thing. Mr. Romney is later seen saying that his campaign has not been as harsh on Mr. Obama as it should have been because the president remains likable and because a desire to win the support of others can disenchant former supporters. It says because they voted for him, they don't want to be told that they were wrong, that he's a bad guy, that he's done many bad things, or that he is corrupt. Referring to independent voters who chose Mr. Obama in 2008. If you're an independent voter and you sided with him because you believed him, wake up. He lied to you. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Welcome back to the final news segment of the Shattering Myths program. I am your host, Yada. You can call us at 877-300-7645. Jason from Pennsylvania is on the line. We're going to get to Jason in a moment. He has a question about Yahusha. And so at the beginning of our next hour, we will turn our attention immediately to Jason and his question. But I would want to finish this this review of the secretly filmed confession of Mitt Romney. He said, because they voted for him, they don't want to be told they were wrong, that he's a bad guy, that he did bad things, that he's corrupt. Now, let's just change the subject just a bit. Let's say, all right. Put yourself as you're speaking now of Muhammad to Muslims. You're going to make a movie and you're going to expose the truth about Muhammad. Because they have faith in him, they don't want to be told that they're wrong, that he's a bad guy, that he really did bad things, that he's corrupt. But think about it. Are you better off knowing the truth? Or are you better off believing a lie? If you're a Muslim, are you better off not having anyone in the world have the character or conviction to tell you the truth about Muhammad? That he was a pedophile, that he was a rapist, that he was incestuous, that he was a mass murderer, that he was a ruthless terrorist, that he was corrupt, that he did these very bad things, that he was a bad guy. Are you better off knowing the truth about the lone person who invented your religion? Are you better off wallowing in ignorance and continuing to be beguiled by him? What is it? If you are a right-wing, ultra-conservative Republican, as I once was, are you better off knowing the truth about Ronald Reagan? Did he bankrupt this country? That his notion that if we build our military up, that we will be more secure when in fact it's the final straw that broke our back. Are you better off knowing the truth? If you are a patriot and think that your freedom and your liberty is provided by your military, are you better off continuing to believe a lie? Are you better off knowing the truth? And then the question is, Are you, if you are told the truth, are you going to be angry at the person presenting that information? Are you going to respond to them and be mean-spirited? Are you going to disparage them? Are you going to try to slander them? Are you going to try to create a straw man and put them in a little box over there? That's the ugly box. Don't touch that box. What are you going to do? And if you learn the truth, are you going to change? And I'm here to tell you, the most liberating thing from a mental point of view, from a psychological point of view, is to be able to learn the truth and embrace it. When you find out something that you believed is untrue, for example, I learned that Paul was a false prophet. Now, the amount of work that it required on my behalf to correct things I had said in the past was enormous. It took a year out of my life. But it was the most liberating thing in the world to be able to acknowledge the truth and to deal with it. And I would encourage everyone listening to this program to do the same thing. Rather than be offended because someone has told you that what you have believed is wrong, be grateful that you know the truth and that you are in a position before it's too late to change your thinking, to change your attitude, to change your direction in life. Well, here, Mitt Romney is afraid to tell people the truth because he says it's going to offend them. Because they, if I tell them the truth that what they did was wrong, that this president said, I am proposing change that you can believe in, and that everything that he said he was going to do turned out to be the opposite of what he did. That if I tell people that they were beguiled, that they're not going to like me, and therefore I'm not going to tell them. It's a terrible conclusion. It happens to be accurate. But where in this whole scope of things is a sense of accountability, where rather than letting people walk across that failed and corrupt and improperly built and unreliable bridge of, across the gorge, you continue to let them walk across it just so that they will like you. And you don't tell them the truth, because if you do, you're afraid they won't like you. Well, we'll return to this program, Shattering Myths, but turning our attention to the one individual in the universe who is reliable after the break. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths.
Has learned the importance of good fats for good health. Good fats are essential fatty acids, and they're called essential because they're necessary for good health.